No, I heard another thing on K-Love that I thought was a great idea, and that actually became the center of this talk. And what it was the DJs were talking about making a scripture box. A box in which you have little strips of paper that are various scriptures that are inspirational scriptures for you. But I said, let's modify a little bit. Let's make it a who I am box. Who I am in you, Lord box, or a scripture box. Now, this could be the box, nice little box here, and you put your scriptures in here. But I know some of you guys are saying, I wouldn't be caught dead with this scripture box on my desk at work. So I've come up with a couple of other types of scripture boxes. We have many models available to you. This is the small but very, very manly, well, somewhat manly scripture box. You know, you could have that on your desk or in your car, and people aren't going to say, what are you doing with that in your car? Now, if that's not manly enough for you, if you have a specific interest, like I got this one for Scott there, we can have this particular box. Now, you open it up, and if you reach in carefully, you have to reach in carefully because those fish, you know, lures really can stab you. You can pull out your scriptures. But if you're not into that, and you really want the manly scripture box, we got this. This is the manly scripture box. This will hold as many scriptures as you want. You can do, you know, I mean, you can have 500 in here. But you know what's even good about this box? Let's say you're at work someday, and you need a scripture verse. You don't have to be obvious about it. You can have the scripture verse right on your... Who needs the first 9 inches anyhow? This one says, Mike, you are my friend and closer to me than a brother. Sorry, bro. That's Proverbs 18:24. And what if you were to start every day with that? I don't know, it's a little tougher to put it on the hammer, but the tape measure is fine. So what I want to do today is to look at some scriptures. This is my manly enough scripture box here. I'm going to pull out some scriptures out of this. We're going to look at them. First one here, from John 1:12. You're one of my children, Mike. Think of it. One of my children. Now you may be saying, well, big deal, I'm one of your children. That might be coming from someone who has not had a good father. Now, I grew up with a great father. My father was a home builder. We lived in Hanover, Mass., not too far from here. And he built a whole neighborhood. Hawthorne Road, Gray Beach Lane, Hickory Lane, all the houses were houses that he had built. And back in those days, I don't think it's happening now, but when you were building a house on spec, you'd actually have the wallpaper picked out. I can remember my mother picking out wallpaper. And I, you know, so I knew the different houses in the neighborhood. I could walk around the neighborhood with my friends and be really proud and say, oh, yeah, the Beers live there. You should see the wallpaper in the kitchen of that house. It's really nice. Or I walked someplace else and said, well, the Marquards live right there. And there's a little tiny, you see that window up there? There's a little hideaway room right there that you can look out down onto the driveway. And I would be so proud because my dad was a creator of that neighborhood. I said, that's my dad's work. Well, when your friends are over to your house now, why don't you go outside after dinner and point up to the North Star and say, my dad created that. Abba, my father, created that. And in fact, he created the billions of stars that you see here. Not to even mention the trees and that dog that's biting you right now. He created that too, God bless him. You know, we have a father that has created everything. And as I mentioned, maybe you don't have a father that, or didn't have a father that you could be proud of, that you could love like you can love the Heavenly Father. You know, maybe he did stupid, obnoxious things. But humans are prone to do stupid, obnoxious things. the good news, I mean, they're not God. But the good news is that God is God. And therefore, he doesn't do stupid and obnoxious things. In fact, he is perfectly just, perfectly loving, perfectly kind, perfectly merciful, perfectly any good quality you can imagine. And he's perfectly not bad. In other words, he doesn't have any of the bad qualities that you might have experienced when you were growing up. You say, but I have so much pain. I have so much hurt in my life. Yeah. But God will supply you with those people who will help you to process that if you ask him to. God will work with you through those things that might have happened to you when you were young and you still haven't quite dealt with yet. You know, the good thing about our God is that he cares for every little thing that you experience. He cares about you. He's your dad, the perfect dad. And he wants you to come to him with those things. He wants you to be willing to share. Now, I can remember sharing things with my dad, like when I smashed up the car. But he had to know about that. But my dad was one who said, okay, let's go get it out of the parking lot where it's now can't be driven. So, well, we have a God who's going to be like that, listen to us, and say, okay, you screwed up, Mike, but I still love you. Let's see what the best way out of this particular situation is. Let's grab another one here. You are forgiven, Mike. I have exalted my son Jesus to my right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give forgiveness of sins. It's from Acts 5:31. I'm forgiven. We just sang that song. I'm forgiven. You know, there is something that we have to do. You're not automatically just forgiven just because God is God and you're forgiven. There are a couple things you have to do. One is that you have to acknowledge and repent. That you have to acknowledge and repent that you've done wrong. Now, I don't know exactly where, I didn't check, I should have, I didn't check where the word repent comes from originally, but I know in French, anyone of you know French? Repenser means to, penser means to think, repenser would mean to rethink. Well, repenting is rethinking what you've done. That was a stupid decision I made, Mike. Okay, I better rethink that. Well, that's one thing, to acknowledge and repent. The other thing you have to do is to forgive others. Now, how can God forgive you if you haven't forgiven others? How can he do that? In fairness, in justice, he's perfectly just. How can he forgive you? I suppose he could, but we read in the Bible that the servant, or actually the head of the servants, went to the master and said, you know, I know I owe you. Actually, the master said, you owe me so much money, an impossible amount to pay back, absolutely impossible. And the head of the servants said, I can't do it. I can't pay it. The master said, okay, you're forgiven that debt. It's gone. And then the head of the servants goes out and finds somebody who owes him a day's wage. And says, you got to pay that back. You got to pay that back. I'm not going to let you off. You got to pay that back. What'd the master do when he heard about that? Said, no mercy on you now. Well, the message there is that we have to be merciful if we expect to have mercy. So, yeah, I am forgiven. But I have to remember that there's a couple little strings attached to that. But they're fair. There's nothing wrong with that. A third message, a third scripture, a third way to think of ourselves. Mike, my son, you've been redeemed. I have bought you back from the master who enslaved you. I love you and redeemed you from the house of bondage. I've been redeemed. You know, when we think of what it means to be redeemed, in times of old, you could buy back a slave. You could buy back somebody who had been enslaved. In Leviticus, we read that after he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brothers may redeem him. We were all sold into slavery by Adam's sin. We became pawns of the evil one. He became our master, Satan is, that is, became our master. And we would have remained in bondage to him if it hadn't been for our brother, Jesus, who bought us out of bondage. It wasn't just any brother. It was the only begotten Son of God. You know, David, the psalmist, knew that God the Father had redeemed him. In Psalm 55, he writes, "He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me." Have you ever felt that there's a lot against you, a lot of things coming against you? Well, you can be redeemed from those. Through Isaiah, we hear, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." We need to get that down into our hearts. We've been redeemed by Christ, who became a curse so that we no longer have to be under the curse of the law. The psalm was Psalm 55, verse 18, and the other was Isaiah 43, 1. Let's look at another one here. This scripture box is filled with these little scriptures that are made out just to me. By the way, if any of you want to get these, I can very quickly change the name, and wherever I say Mike, I can... not today. I can do it at work. "You have been bought at a price, a very dear price, my son's life, Mike. That is how valuable you are to me." You know, as I thought about that particular verse, I tried to put into an example. I tried to figure out how I could explain to you what that means to me. Now, if you think that you're not worth that much, you need to realign your thinking. And here's the way I can help you to see this, I hope. Let's imagine for a moment that you're out yard sailing. Any of you yard sail? Not now, but during the good weather. You're out yard sailing, and it's getting near the end of the day. And you stop at this particular house. It's 2:45. The yard sale closes at 3:00. And you're talking to the owner of the house, the person who's running the yard sale, and they says, "Oh, yeah, anything that's not sold, I'm just going to bring to the dump here. You know, I don't want it anymore." So you're going through the house and the garage and everything, and eventually in the corner of the garage, you see this rug. It has none of the colors you would ever consider having in your house. It looks like it's been walked on for years. It's stained. It's dirty. It's worn out. Now, I don't suspect you're going to pull out your wallet and say, "I'm going to give every last dime I have for this rug." You'd be a fool to do that. Why would you ever want to do that? But let's say you were a historian, and you're walking through this house, and you come to this rug, and you say, "Oh, my Lord, that's the long-lost rug of Queen Regina from Finland. That has been missing for 300 years. And I'd be honored to get that dirty rug because I happen to be a rug cleaner. I can clean that rug and make it look like new. I can make it new, not just look like new. It can be a new rug for me." Now you're probably going to be willing to reach into your wallet. Actually, you probably want to say, how much are you going to charge me? And hopefully he's going to say like 50 cents or a dollar. But maybe the owner sees your eyes light up when you see that rug. He says, "Oh, here's someone I can really get a lot of money out of this." So you say, "Okay, what if I give you $1,000? Now, don't mug me on the way out. I don't carry $1,000 in my wallet ever. I don't think I've ever had $1,000. But let's say you, being a good yard sailor, had $1,000 in your wallet and you expected a really good day. Say, $1,000. He said, "No, no. How about $10,000? No. How about $1,000,000? Sorry, I'm not going to let it go for $1,000,000. But I will make a deal with you. What? What? Anything? Whatever. Tell you what. If you give me your son, I will give you the rug. Now, I'm hoping none of you would say, go ahead, take my son. If you give me your son, I'll give you the rug. You'd walk away and say, my son is too valuable. That rug is not valuable enough compared to my son. Well, let's take a step back for a second. You were dirty. I was dirty. I was stained. I was worn out. And God looked down at me and said to the one who would become my master, I am going to redeem this person. I'm going to pay a really big price. What could be a good enough payment for this child who is so valuable to me? $1,000? $10,000? $1,000,000? Not enough. This child is so valuable to me that I'm willing to give my son. I'm willing to have him shed every last drop of his blood just to buy back you, me. That's how valuable you are. That's how much God esteems you and values you. You are worth his only begotten son. Praise God. How about another one? Don't you ever forget, Mike, that you are precious in my sight. That's from Isaiah 43. You are precious in my sight. What we find, what we forget, I should say, is that we are precious. Do you believe that? Do you really believe it? Not just here. Oh, yes, I'm precious. But do you believe it here? Do you have heart knowledge of it? You know, as a psychologist, I know that sometimes, in fact, oftentimes, ugly behavior emanates from someone who has a belief that he or she is ugly or worthless. Someone who really knows how precious he or she is not going to behave in such a way. They're going to be unlikely to willfully kill or steal or destroy. If you realize you're precious, you're not going to do that. Well, you may say, why does Satan kill, steal, and destroy me? Why does he destroy? Because you're not precious to him. Satan only wants you so that you can get be part of his plan to bring down others. Once he's done that, you're used up in his mind. You're not precious. He'll kill and steal you and destroy you just as he will everybody else. But we have a God that considers us precious. You know, David, Psalm 139 says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. We have a God who thinks of us moment by moment, day by day, and says, you are precious. I have so many thoughts about you. Just listen for my thoughts. Listen to the people who come into your life who will tell you my thoughts. Listen to your Christian brothers and sisters. Hear me in prayer. Now, this scripture box is full of scriptures. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go around. I don't know if I get to everybody. I won't be able to get to everybody. But I'm going to ask you to pull out a scripture and read it out loud. I'll put the mic in front of you. And just hold on. I'll collect it afterwards. I can't do everything with a mic. I wish we had one of those mics you can put on your mouth here. Where it says Mike, put your own name in. Okay, don't read Mike. This is a scripture for you. You reach in here, you pull a scripture out, and this is the scripture that God wants you to hear today. So I'm going to start. You mind reading one?
Dana, you are seated with Christ in the heavenly realm.
Amen. Praise God. If you can just hold on to that. Do you want to read one, Pam?
Oh, Pam, you are beloved in me and kept for my son, Jude 1:1.
Thank you. Hold on, I'll get it later. Do you mind reading one?
Craig, I have called you by your name. You are mine, Isaiah 43:1.
I think I'm going to let my husband read for you just because of my accent.
That's okay. We love your
accent. Oh, Marla, you are precious in my sight. I have honored you, and I love you. Isaiah 43:4.
Praise God. Amen. Tom, you willing to read one?
Sure. Today, Tom, remind yourself over and over again that you have been redeemed and forgiven of all your sins. I said all of them, Tom. Colossians 1:14.
Amen. 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 Victoria, you have stopped believing that you are born of God and the evil one cannot touch you. 1 John 5:18.
Adam, did you forget that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Philippians 4:13.
I know you feel out of sorts with the world, Abigail, but that is just where you are to... for you are part of a peculiar people, a chosen generation. 1 Peter 2:9.
You are my friend, and I'll stick to you closer than a brother, Alex.
Jason, you are forever loved by me, and nothing can ever separate you from my love.
Amen. This is my mother, by the way.
You have to do that. Stop striving, Susan, for you are complete in my son, Jesus. Colossians 2:10.
Fear? What's that, Julie? You have not been given a spirit of fear. You have a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7.
Mike, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I have taken up the residence in you. Corinthians 3:16.
Why do you fret, Mark? You are more than a conqueror through Jesus who loves you. Romans 8:37.
Just hold on to it.
What's this about feeling useless, Rod? You are the salt and the light of the earth, Matthew 5:13-14.
Why the guilt, Mark? Don't you know that you have been forever freed from condemnation? Romans 8:1-2.
Stand tall, Susanna. I have given you victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57.
Reuben. Did you know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? Psalm 139, verse 1.
You are a new creation. You are no longer what you were, Lauren. For the old you is gone, and you have been made new.
Don't worry, Gina. You will forget the shame of your youth, Isaiah 54:4.
Well, I got to take the one I took first. Okay.
You are not someone with a spirit of fear, Julie. Rather, you are someone with a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7.
Ariana, in me you are an overcomer. 1 John 4:4.
When you face something you think is overwhelming, Colleen, remember that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4.
Richard, you will not be put to shame. Isaiah 54:4.
Janet, you are not a mistake. Before you were ever conceived, I knew you, and you were made holy. Jeremiah 1, verse 5.
Dan, you have my law in your mind and written on your heart. Jeremiah 31:33.
Remember, Rita, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. Isaiah 54:17.
Okay. Remember, Amanda, you have been justified, freed of the guilt and penalty by your faith in me. Romans 5:1.
I've got you covered, Victoria, for I, the Lord, go before you, and I will be your rear guard. Isaiah 52:12. That's a good one. I want to keep that one. Does it count if I pick up right here?
Daniel, I have covered you with the shadow of my hand. Isaiah 51:16.
No matter what the world tries to tell you, Paul, you have been honored and have loved you, and I have loved you.
Cole, you are born of God. Satan cannot touch you. 1 John 5:18.
You are my workmanship, Matt, and I don't make flawed things. Ephesians 2:10.
You, yes you, Kim, have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. John 15:16.
Sure, Dan, I might look bad sometimes, but rest assured, all things work together for good because you love me. Romans 8:20-28.
These you'll hear again, but it's important for you to have to get one because I believe the Lord is giving you.
Stand tall, Ethan. I have given you victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57.
Barbara, you are not to be put to shame. Isaiah 54.
What's this about feeling useless, Charlene? You are the salt and the light of the earth. Matthew 5:13-14.
Amen. I'll come up there. I'm going to get these.
are my friend, Cheryl, and I'll stick to you closer than a brother. John 15:15 and Proverbs 18:24.
Why do you fret, Joy? You are more than a conqueror through Jesus who loves you. Romans 8:37.
Karen, you are seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. Ephesians 2:6.
Oh, Mary, you are precious in my sight. I have honored you, and I love you. Isaiah 43:4.
Today, Tony, remind yourself over and over again that you have been redeemed and forgiven of all your sins. I said all of them, Tony, Colossians 1:14.
Dan, you have stopped believing that you are born of God and the evil one cannot touch you. 1 John 5:18.
Dorothy, you are loved forever by me and nothing can ever separate you from my love. Romans 8:35.
Why the guilt, Carolyn? Don't you know that you've been forever freed from condemnation? Romans 8:1-2.
Elizabeth, in me you are an overcomer. 1 John 4:4.
Nicole, I have called you by your name. You are mine. Isaiah 43:1.
Logan, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. I have taken up residence in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16.
Amen. Oh, Tara, you are precious in my sight. I have honored you and love you. Isaiah 43:4.
They do iron them? Stop striving, Randy. You are complete in my Son, Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:10.
Don't worry, Steve. You will forget the shame of your youth. Isaiah 5:4-4b.
Praise the Lord. I know you feel out of sorts with the world, Cheryl, but that is just where you are to be, for you are a part of a peculiar people, a chosen generation. 1 Peter 2:9.
You are a new creation. You are no longer what you were, Katie. For the old you is gone, and you have been made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Scott, Mike is really going to give you that tackle box. No. Fear? What's that, Scott? You have not been given a spirit of fear. You have a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Now, I do believe that you were ordained to get that message today, whatever that was. You know, I don't believe that God, you know, you shouldn't play lotteries and things like that. But this was something that the Lord wanted you to hear today. Your hand was guided to that spot